young Dev, despite Hugh Morgan without his irons, is staying on the outside, and this will be American if he wins. It is young Dev on the far side, and Hugh Morgan for a remarkable win. This is extraordinary!
This is In the Room with Sean Clancy.
Hi, I'm Sean Clancy, and I'm in the room with jockey Hugh Morgan. That was the greatest ride I've ever seen. I've said it. You've said it. Shoemaker on Ferdinand in the Derby. McCoy on Wichita Lineman at Cheltenham. Mike Smith on Holy Bull in the Traverse. Yeah, all those. Hugh Morgan on Young Dev in the three-mile chase on heavy ground at Navin on Sunday, February 21st. That was the greatest ride I've ever seen. Ever. Hugh, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much for having me. Thank you.
For our listeners, if you're driving, pull over and Google Young Dev and just watch the video of this. Hugh Morgan, take us through Young Dev. You run down to the first fence in a three-mile chase, and everything's perfect until about, I guess, midair, or when does it occur to you that something is amiss?
It was just on the landing side of the first fence. I just felt my right iron go, and I just looked down to see if it was a buckle or what was wrong with it, but it was after breaking, and it was gone at that stage. So I just kicked my left one out straight away, and then just went from there, to be honest.
Well, that's it. I was watching it live, and I could see you lose the irons, and I thought, well, you know, it's a long, slow race. Just reach down and, you know, put the iron back on your foot, right? I mean, that had to be your first reaction until, I guess, when it's not there.
Yeah, that was it. It was just when the right one broke, just straight away, I said, like, another fence, like, there's no, my balance, and that wouldn't be, say, one iron up and one iron down, so I just kicked it out straight away, and took the next fence, and it was fine, and then just kept on going from there, and he got into a lovely rhythm, which the horse deserves a lot of credit too, like that, he never put a foot wrong, and Dennis had him in brilliant order for the day, so he was hoping he'd run well too, so it was great that it worked out, and it was brilliant to get the horse to win for Dennis and the owner and everyone, yeah.
Yeah, that's the trainer, Dennis Hogan. What was his reaction after the race?
To be honest, he said it straight to me himself. He said during the race that he was pulling his hair out, but going to the third last, he thought we'd have a chance, and it was just great. It worked out, so it was brilliant. Thank God now, yeah.
Yeah, and you did more than just hang on. You rode a race. I mean, you waited. You took a pull, kind of coming to the, I think, second to last, maybe switched sticks and won. I mean, when did you kind of switch to just hanging on and surviving to riding a race? Or were you just concentrating on riding a race the whole way?
Well, to be honest, we were going to be taking our time either way. Just letting the main thing, just get him into a rhythm and get him jumping and get him traveling early on in the race. And then just going down the back straight. The ditch across the side there, he winged that, and then the whole way down the back straight, he was winging fences and just taking me there. But just going to the, after jumping the last in the back straight, I just thought for a second that they had got away a little bit, so I just gave him a chance going up the hill and jumped the ditch, and just gave him a flick or two, and from there on he came alive, and just after jumping the third last, I just took a little bit of a pull because he just kind of idle a little bit when he's in front too early. So I thought at the time I had own cover, so I was able to afford to take that pull. And then it was brilliant. Then just going to the last, and he was good. And just after that, he just idled a little bit, but like he was brilliant everywhere now. He was deadly to ride.
Yeah, real credit to the horse to be able to just keep plugging away. And, I mean, really, like you said, I don't think he missed a spot. I mean, really just stepped in
and
kind of jumped right out of stride the whole way.
No, he was perfect everywhere. That was just the main thing. I spoke to Damien Skeen, who gets on real well with the horse, and he filled me with loads of confidence. But just the main thing, just get him into a rhythm. And he'll be good, which he got into. We got him into a lovely rhythm, and he was a savage ride even without irons. I got a great spin off there.
Was there any anxious moment? I mean, I think the whole race was anxious, but were there any moments where you thought I'm gonna slip off or I should pull up? Was there any times you thinking this isn't going to work?
Never, to be honest. No, it was just like I just thought like he's experienced when it did happen and took the next fence, took the next few fences down the back well, and everything felt so right, to be honest. That's why I was just a bit overcome by like the amount of the reaction, because at the time it just felt right thing to do. He wasn't a beginner's chase or anything, so he was well experienced, so it just felt like the right thing to do, and we got into a rhythm. And it just went from there then, to be honest.
No, for sure. He's making his 30th start. And I think for our listeners, they have to realize these are big chase fences in Ireland. These aren't hurdles and, you know, what maybe they've seen in America or hurdle racing. You know, these are big fences, a long course, heavy ground. And the other jockeys in the race, were they saying anything to you? I think at one stage you looked over and kind of talked to Donna Myler a little bit. Did they make comments during the race? Or what was that like?
It was only just briefly with Donna. When he'd seen me just come upside him with sitting on him, he asked what was going on. So I just briefly just said like that my right iron was broken, and he just asked, "Are you going to keep going like that?" I have no other choice. I can't put it back in, so I just will kick on. And it was great the way it worked out.
Oh, I love it. I mean, the finish is brilliant. I mean, your right boot is like blown apart and you have no irons and you just ride and race. But I guess that's life as a jockey, right? Is to call audibles and make decisions and just keep riding, trying to keep winning, I guess, right?
Yeah, it mightn't have been looked pretty. It's still down as the winner, which is the main thing.
What was the reaction after? I know there's not a crowd there with COVID, but what was the reaction from other jockeys and other people there? I mean, the people who did actually see it.
Yeah, they got a good little cheer going back into the parade ring. I'd say everyone was, I'd say in shock. I don't know where he's gone, but yeah, I got a good cheer going back into the winner's enclosure there.
When I was a kid, I had a riding instructor that would make us ride without stirrups, and I, you know, hated her for it. But was that something you grew up doing, riding ponies bareback or riding, you know, did you take lessons without stirrups? Have you ever really jumped fences without stirrups?
No, I was doing a bit bareback younger, and even just one horse, a few horses like that might have sore backs, and that just was ridden them bareback. Because the saddle would irritate the withers or withers, and that just give them a break, and that would be about it. But I've never schooled bareback or anything like that.
I guess there's something new to try every day, right?
Yeah, that was it. I wouldn't have done it before, but like it's just at the time it felt comfortable, it felt right, and I just went with it then from there.
Now, are you like most Irish jump jockeys, grew up with a family riding and hunting and pony racing, or what was your background?
We'd breed at home, but I was always mad into the racing, and I was spent time with Mr. Bulger in Carlo, and it sort of went from there. Then I spent a few summers there, and then went to Francois Cotton then for a summer. Mr. Bulger down in Limerick as well, just trying to learn as much as I could there, and gaining experience there. And I've been with Henry, my boss, Mr. Bromit, for quite a number of years too as well, which is great. And he gives me brilliant opportunities, which I'm very fortunate of. Like there's lots of nice horses he puts me up on. So very, very grateful for the opportunities there.
Growing up, who were your heroes? Ruby and Ruby Walsh, Barry Garrity, AP. I mean, who did you look up to? Or was it more of a flat? Were you more of a flat kind of kid, or always jump?
It was always jumps. Like you'd watch a lot of them, Ruby and Davey and Barry and Paul. They were the main few. But for me, Sir Anthony would have always been my like the one that stood out, my main idol when I was younger. Even still now, like he's he would have been idolized him, like. But like you'd still you'd pick up watching them all their different ways and different techniques and different ways of doing it, as they're all different, but they have no one set way of doing it. But Sir Anthony would have always been the main idol for me, to be honest.
That's Sir Anthony McCoy, the all-time greatest, 20-time champion. Right. And that's something that he would have, the ride you gave young Dev, I mean, that was very right up his sleeve. AP McCoy, he once won a race, had a fall. All the other horses had either fallen or pulled up or stopped, and he actually went and retrieved his horse, jumped back on, and won the race. So very, that similar never-say-die attitude, I guess.
Yeah, that's like his work ethic, and like his records speak for themselves. He was being just like younger growing up. I idolized him. Like,
yeah, 4,000 jump winners. I mean, we're over here in America.
Yeah,
we're looking at flat wins, and AP McCoy won 4,000 jump races, which is just an absolutely unheard of crazy number. What about when I rode jump races? Whenever you had a fall, it usually hit you about 2 days after the fall is when you really were the most sore. So after riding 3 miles without irons, when did it hit you? I mean, you had to be sore a couple of days afterwards.
I suppose it would have been a little, straight after a bit, but maybe exactly what you said. Just 1 or 2 days later, that's when I just got a little bit more sore. But I've just took a few baths before that just to be. Help, so it wouldn't be as bad. It would have been the two day after it got a bit sore.
The amazing thing about the race, watching the race, was how good you looked. I mean, you were just as neat and tidy at your fences, and that's just a credit to your riding ability, I guess. I mean, it was amazing to watch your position at the fences the whole way. I mean, you really just looked. It was a very classic style, classic look on a horse, very, very classical, which is just an incredible achievement to do that for 3 miles without irons.
Yeah, like that's, I suppose that's why it's, for me riding him, I never had any doubt with him, because it just felt so right, and we got in a lovely rhythm, and everything just seemed to happen. The horse was jumping and traveling, and the two of us were enjoying it, so. At the time, we were oblivious of what everyone was thinking or saying to pull up, and we just got into a rhythm, and it sort of went from there. Then, and like Dennis Hogan had the horse in brilliant order, and I spoke to Damien Skeen beforehand as well. He would have gotten on real well with the horse, and they filled me with loads of confidence about the horse, and it was just. Great for them, and for the owner, that's the horse won. That was the main, just get them into a rhythm and take my time and just go from there.
That's brilliant. I love the description. Oblivious is a good way to put it. You were the horse, and you were really just riding a race, oblivious to the situation, which is just brilliant horsemanship.
That was, we just got in, the main thing, we got in a rhythm, and The two of us were happy out, and it just seemed to happen from there. Then
I love it. That's Hugh Morgan. Listen, wherever you go, you can say, you know, that guy with no irons on that gray horse, that was me. I mean, that'll open doors for the rest of your life.
Please God, yeah. Hopefully, you know, just keep head down and keep going. Main thing is just to keep improving and just build on that. And like, it's so competitive here in Ireland that like you can't. Get too far ahead of yourself. Like, racing, it'll bring you back down straight away. So just for me, just keep my head down and keep working, and hopefully we'll just keep banging the winners. Then
I love it. That's Hugh Morgan. If you ever come to America, come find us and tell our old friend Sean Flanagan we said hello. Jack Fisher and the crew from over here. If you ever come to these shores, seriously, look us up. And thanks for being on the show. And good luck. And again, congratulations on just a once in a lifetime ride.
Brilliant. Thanks very much for having me. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.